Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
This is the Buffalo Plus Podcast, brought to you by Connors and Ferris.
All right, welcome back to the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel, presented by Connors and Ferris. Mike Catalana, Dan Fates, I am Jenna Cottrell. It is a special day on the podcast for many a reason. 25K we hit. Really exciting. Thank you all so much. We really, really, truly appreciate the support. We're going to keep growing this thing as big as, you know, we can make it. And we always appreciate all the fans and everyone. So thank you all. And also, it is football week one. We have made it, folks. But before we get started, please be sure to like, comment, and subscribe to the channel. Again, if you appreciate our content, we
100K is next.
You. Yeah. Steps in between that. But hey, that's our goal. But no, gentlemen.
Actually, you know what the most important subscriber is? It's the next one. That's how this is going to work. We're
going to
go one Yeah.
It's the growth mindset, as Sean McDermott coined the phrase. But no. All right. Talking week one, Bills Jets. Mike, this is a huge test out the gate. Like, what are your thoughts on this game, especially the fact that it's on the road, Aaron Rodgers, new look Jets, and the division to start?
As been mentioned, maybe 25,000 times on the Buffalo Plus podcast, I have been covering this team for a long time, but you guys know what I always have said, man, when I step in a stadium, I love the feeling. That's why I keep doing this. And I cannot wait for the atmosphere of that game. I think it's going to be phenomenal. I like that the Jets are relevant. They've been irrelevant like the Bills were. And if it took Aaron Rodgers, so be it. I think it's going to be phenomenal there. Between, obviously, the 9/11 stuff brings a bunch of emotion. Mm-hmm. The Rodgers thing is off the charts. Biggest story of the offseason. And here the Bills are, just like last year, walking in a primetime game to begin the season. I love it. The only thing I'm going to say is, and I'm going to say it right now, do not overreact one way or the other on what happens in week one. I know we all will. But I'm just saying this as like, you know, it's like, don't tear the tag off the mattress. Like, no one pays attention to it. Do not overreact to what happens in week one.
Yeah, I totally agree with Mike. I think there's no greater, though, overreaction in the entire season than week one. Like, it's either the team is a bust, the season's over, or next stop is Vegas for the Super Bowl. So, but all that comes with all of the storylines that have gone on this offseason. Mm-hmm. And Jenna, we talked about it on the blog yesterday, whether it's, you know, the new toy, you know, the Bills kind of seem like that old toy that everybody's kind of over. And now it's the Jets, it's Rodgers, it's Tua, it's oh, hey, by the way, like the Patriots now have an offensive coordinator. It's like everybody else. And again, I get it. It's media, it's national media. That's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to make people upset and say things that are outrageous. That's what
they're so good at it, though, Dan.
They're so good. And so I think that that's why all of this will get exacerbated by whatever happens on Monday night. Big word. There's your $5 word for you.
That's five.
Don't even ask me to attempt to spell. I couldn't tell you what the first letter is of that. But just the fact of going into this.
I know you're being honest, too.
100%. The fact is, Jenna, like, it's so funny. And you did this story yesterday for the newscast was the fact of, oh, it's just another game. It's just the game. The players are saying, oh, it's, you know, it's not a big deal. But then inside their answers of all of them saying it's not a big deal was truth of them being like, nah, this is a big deal. Like Von being like, this is what you would live for, and Steph being like, I love being on primetime. Like, all of these things, because it's Monday night, are just magnified so much more.
Yeah, 1,000%. And I mean, to start the season on the last game of the week, Sean McDermott talked, like, in his little bio, Monday Night Football was his favorite TV program growing up. Like, the magnitude of the game, the fact that it is Aaron Rodgers, the fact that it is a Jets team that we've had so much hype about on Hard Knocks. It's on 9/11, obviously, like Mike talked about, emotional day, being down outside the city, like all of these things. I think, you know, when I had Stephon Diggs in my story yesterday, he talked about like everyone's eager and everyone's just ready. Like, they want to make the most of this opportunity. And it's like, this is an opportunity to make a statement. And you're right. Like, there's a way to make a statement and then not extrapolate it throughout the rest of the season. And what I say yesterday, if everything goes right in this game, that doesn't mean everything is perfect. If everything goes wrong, that doesn't mean the season is a mess. You have to kind of take your cues from what you see. But at the same point, like, excitement, it's the NFL. We are reactionary every week. Like, it's a piece of it. That's how it works. There's, you know, a limited amount of regular season games. We don't really know what we're going to see yet this season. And there is so much pressure on this team. Dan and I were in Buffalo yesterday, Orchard Park, and I felt like the team just sounded a little bit different. Whereas before, it was more of a, you know, all shucks, like, we're the Super Bowl favorites. Like, you know, we got to prove ourselves, all this. This year, this season, to me, A, they are not Super Bowl favorites, but B, Stephon Diggs said, like, this team has done a good job of staying under the radar. This team has been doubted. This team has question marks. And Mike, I think that this team loves being in that spot. And to the point where you have the saying, or someone has a saying, in the NFL, you're either humble or about to be humbled. When I look at this matchup going in, I'm like, one team is humbled and the other team could be about to be humbled.
I think the Jets, honestly, sound like the Bills did a year ago and maybe even pumped up a little bit more. I mean, look, I get it. Sometimes you're in the middle of sound bites and Robert Saleh's talking about, guess what? Those guys got to play us too. And you got defensive players, Reed, the safety, talking about, we could be an all-time defense. I get it. They're confident, right? We talked to Janae Coakley from Covers the Jets. She goes, they're confident, but they are, you know, they are feeling positive. And I get it. The Jets haven't had a lot of that. But honestly, for a team that really hasn't done anything, I know you added a Hall of Famer. They sound a little like one that's about to be humbled at the beginning of the year. Now, that doesn't mean, I think, guaranteed the Bills come in and win the game. But man, you know, Rodgers hasn't played a regular snap for them. And last year, he's still really good, but he didn't look phenomenal. And he's got to get used to all these guys and the play calling, Nate Hackett, and all those things. So honestly, I like the mindset of the Bills maybe more than the Jets. Maybe that arrogance will work for them. But honestly, that's the way they've come across leading into this game.
Yeah. Jenna, you talked about how this could be a statement game for the Bills.
Yeah.
And I instantly thought about how different this statement would be than other statement Monday night primetime games. Think about it. We always go back to that Thanksgiving game in Dallas. I always remember the Pittsburgh game Sunday night in 2019 when they clinched the playoff spot. We think about going to Kansas City in the regular season on Sunday night and winning games. Those were all statements telling the league, telling the world, telling the NFL, we've arrived. We are that team. A statement here on Monday night would say, we're still here, because so many people have checked them off. Like, yeah, like you said, Jenna, like, they are somewhat like just like ho-hum. It's like the Bills aren't going to be as good as they were. Like, that's just not what it is. But to come out and put on a good performance would really kind of silence all those critics. And the statement would be, hey, we're still the Bills.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I'm curious to see how it will be. And my one thing is, I've talked to fans, obviously, you know, at Wegmans, running into people. And the biggest thing that I hear is people are excited for the season, all these things. But Dan, it's like that. And when we talk to the team, it's like, this is a new season. This is a new team. This is all these things. But it's like the way last year ended, And I'm not even talking about the Stephon Diggs stuff as much, just the frustration and just the lack of effort, the lack of execution, like the kind of laying down situation. I think that's something that fans are really nervous about just because we haven't seen this team back on the field.
Yeah.
Like the concern is that it's like, was that how they're going to be?
Yeah. I think the last impression was of a team that had lost that spark. And there are a lot of reasons behind that. Right. And obviously the DeMar situation really took a lot out of them. But if you go back before the Cincinnati game, we know they were struggling. They were hanging in there. They had some grit. They found a way. By the way, that's a big coach's word, right? Grit.
Yeah.
You
know,
grit. Oh, yeah. Grit. You got to be a football guy. They found those ways to survive. But man, when you take a 10,000 foot view of it, you're like, they barely beat the Patriots. They barely beat the Dolphins. Like you could see it coming. Maybe we all didn't want to see it coming. It's a new season. And the reality is, think back to that Rams game and the early Miami game and the way we felt about stuff and all. Really doesn't matter. I mean, it matters for positioning and all those things. What matters is when the weather's cold and the playoff games are starting. So that's part of the mindset. And that's why I say about the overreacting. And even on the other side, guys, you know, Aaron Rodgers could come out a little shaky. The line not as good. The offense doesn't work as well. And the Bills win the game. Don't go burying them because it's week one and they have a lot of new people. That's all I'm saying is you can get fooled a little bit early in the year. But I don't think emotion is going to be a problem for either team coming into this one.
Dan, your thoughts?
Yeah, I tried to get that out of Stephon Diggs yesterday when we talked, because we're recording this Thursday morning. You know, I asked him, like, we've talked about it, that he seems more fired up at practices than he has been. Like, he's treated practices like games. And it just seems like the emotion of this thought of the script being flipped. And I'm not talking about the script that the NFL puts out every single year for the games. I'm talking about the fact of...
Love those commercials, by the way.
Phenomenal. Way to lean into one little bit. At least the NFL has embraced that it's scripted and rigged. I think that's great. But the fact of the matter is that, like, You've got whatever drama there was this offseason. You've got the doubters. You've got Leslie. Like, you have all of this stuff. And I think it does come to a head at the end of week one in the Big Apple or the Meadowlands, whatever, close to the New York City market. And you have it under bright lights on national television. Like, I just think it's a perfect storm for the Bills to kind of release all of that pent up energy of kind of a lack of a better word, like, screw you guys, like get back to that, like, you guys don't believe in us, which I do find funny, because for, like Mike says, for all of the hype that the Jets are getting, Hard Knocks is part of that. A lot of people, like,
yeah,
it was a few years ago, it was the Lions, like, everybody bought into hype around the Lions because they see the team and they kind of see that behind the scenes access. The Bills are still 2.5 point favorites to go into the Meadowlands. Like, Vegas still thinks the Bills are a pretty damn good team, so I think that that's also part of, but around it, it's different.
Yeah. Yeah. The narrative around both teams feels very different heading into the season. And speaking of just the season in general, I mean, the fact that we are at week one, this is a long year for the Bills. You know, we've talked so much about this team getting over the hump. Mike, what is your outlook on this Bills team for this upcoming season?
Yeah, I think we need to be ready that there's going to be some adjustments, right? They made the deal with Terrell Bernard. I don't know if you guys expected it. Dan, I don't know. At any point, did you think Bernard could be a star?
Unbelievable.
Jenna,
what a day for the brand. It was
incredible. I love Dan saying that. What a day for the brand. Like, I would never think to say, like, the brand, but it is. It's the Dan Fates Incorporated.
Guys,
how was it yesterday? Did McDermott come up and congratulate Dan at any point or no?
Handshakes, champagne was popping.
Okay.
Like, Dan's doing your 111th.
Listen, I have taken a lot of stuff. Okay. I've had my fair share of bad takes, and I deserve every time that I say an ACL is an oil change or something like that. Like, I rightfully so, I deserve to eat crow and all of those things and get dunked on in the comment section. But it goes back to, like, the clip of Kevin Malone in The Office when he goes, it just feels good to win one. Like, it just feels good to really That was an August 11th fire from the hip. Man, this why is Bernard practicing at middle linebacker? That's strange. And to take it and turn it into a hot take of that he's going to start week one, just feels good to win one, guys.
A little inside baseball yesterday. We're at the Sean McDermott press conference. Obviously, we have a group chat between the three of us. Sean McDermott barely got out the words that Terrell Bernard would be the starting middle linebacker. And Dan Fates was in the group chat with just like,
I think it was, oh my God.
You know what's so good about it? I didn't think there would be something that would surpass. We reached out about Christian McCaffrey more. But this far surpasses it in a moment of a news conference because it was a year in advance. Mm-hmm. Would you agree, Dan, or do you like the we reached out to McCaffrey?
The McCaffrey one may have been better personally to validate me. This was just a proven hot take. And again, for somebody that I'd I don't like to consider myself like a hot takes specialist, but like please. I see some of the comments that like it is. Dan has a lot of hot takes. You swing and miss on a lot of them, guys. You swing and miss, and you just keep shoot or shoot, like Jenna says. And to stick with it, the text all of a sudden, all caps, which I'm a big all caps guy, huge all caps guy in the text messages. I just said, I was right. Oh my God. And then it just goes, Jenna responds with, flip the mug. And then I just said, huge day for the Dan brand, Bernard and Benford. Unbelievable.
While McDermott was still talking, by the way.
While we continue to congratulate you, what do you guys think of Bernard starting?
I'm surprised.
I guess when I look back to it, and it's funny from hearing some of this stuff from the offensive side, I don't know. And this is like, maybe it's dumb. Maybe I'll go back to being dumb Dan and things like that. I don't know how much like the offensive side and defensive side, like collab, like the lot from what I'm hearing from the Bills side, Ken Dorsey, Brandon Bean is speed, right? Speed, speed, speed. That the NFL isn't getting slower. That's why they went out and got Deonte Hardy. That's why they looked at a guy like Andy Isabella. Like they talk about all this speed. They add Dalton Kincaid to be a more tight end with speed, right? All of these things. And then I look at Terrell Bernard, and how many times have we kind of joked like he doesn't look like a linebacker, like he doesn't have the physical size and build. He almost looks like a safety. So maybe they want to get just a little faster. And the big thing is that if the speed is getting faster on offense, you're adjusting to more speed at middle linebacker. Now, the one thing that I really like about Bernard, and it was part of the take, was that he has instincts. That he from day one, they complimented his instincts, his knowledge of the defense. Jordan Poyer said it yesterday. Sean McDermott said it again. And that was the one thing we always saw that lacked with Tremaine Edmonds. All the physical skills, but didn't have the instincts. Terrell Bernard, by all accounts, has the instincts to play that middle linebacker role. And maybe he has more speed and agility to play in an NFL that is getting faster and quicker. That instead of the big, bruising A.J. Klein, Tyrell Dodson linebackers, they're going to a Matt Milano type for two of them.
I will say, I feel like that leads to what we're kind of seeing in terms of like positionless, like a lot of guys kind of coming in and having similar frames. And you kind of mentioned all this stuff, like what you're not going to get the physicality that Tremaine Edmonds had walking out the door. So you're not going to have that. So why don't you like when everyone else is zigging, you zag type of thing. The only reason I was kind of surprised was because he's missed so much time. Having that hamstring injury, not playing in the preseason. I think that says a lot about what they think about Tyrell Dodson as well. You can kind of say a message without even thinking of, you know, what it means in terms of that. But I was just a little taken aback because with that time missing those reps on the field, that's a huge spot to be at. But at the same point, I think McDermott trusts him. And I think it's a situation. The Bills did sign Christian Kirksey, which hand up, I said his name wrong like 15 different ways to Sunday on one of our earlier blogs. Christian Kirksey, he's a 10-year NFL guy. You know, I still think if he can figure out this Bills defense in a couple weeks. Maybe there's a switch at middle linebacker, depending on how Terrell Bernard is playing. But the only reason I was taken aback was because he just wasn't out there this summer.
And the other thing, Jenna, I think we need to say that Sean McDermott is thinking bigger picture here. It's hard to replicate this and say, if this was the playoffs, you know, and Terrell Bernard was at this level and you had veterans who had been around, maybe you say, I got to play the vet. Well, it's week one. As big of a game as it is week one. And if you think this kid can play, you got to get him on the field. That's the only way he's going to be that way. Are you taking a little bit of a risk? Well, sure you are. But let's also be honest. You're talking about Kirksey, who hasn't been on the team. By the way, kind of, you know, I don't like names that are so hard to say. You gotta focus on the first name, how it goes with the last name. It doesn't flow that well.
No, and I thought it was Kirksey.
Yeah, but Kirksey. It's Christian Kirk. It's Kirksey. Remember,
it's like
that,
a hockey last, like a hockey nickname.
So do we Kirksey. Call him Kirksey? Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, that is his last name.
I know, but yeah, it's just as that's what we call him. We don't call him Christian, I guess would be the first name. But in terms of this, I think they're thinking of it like, okay, this guy has the traits that we like, he's going out there. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the other options, I mean, it's really at the moment in terms of knowing the defense, it's Tyrell Dodson. So I think Sean McDermott is having faith in himself, having faith in the guys on the back end, having faith in that D-line, mm-hmm. and having faith in Matt Milano that it's worth playing him.
Yeah.
It's always, you kind of always look back and I go, I always remember, like I said, the take started from training camp that he took all the middle linebacker reps and going, he models his game after Matt Milano. Like, why would he be working as the middle linebacker when he's done so much as you would imagine the outside linebacker? And it's just, you wonder where the step was, because last year, like, let's not forget, like, Dodson and Klein filled in for Edmonds when he wasn't there. Like, this is obviously Sean McDermott takes a lot of the training camp into account and what the offseason was, but like, this is going to be getting thrown in the deep end of the pool for a guy that has not started at all. So he's earned the green dot and they're at least, this will be the first gamble is replacing the middle linebacker with a guy that is someone they think very highly of.
Yeah. We'll see. I, that is why I'm like, you didn't really have you this summer. You weren't out there. That is why I have question marks. Concerns. But at the same point, I think Terrell Bernard, like you said, Dan, he was out there training camp last year. He was working mm-hmm. in that spot before. He's been in the meeting rooms, like all this stuff.
Yep.
In terms of the season and pressure, it's a lot of pressure on this team this upcoming year. Dan, I want to start with you. Who do you think is under the most pressure?
To me, I've said it before, I think it's Sean McDermott. That doesn't mean that Sean McDermott's on the hot seat. That doesn't mean that he's coaching for his job. It just means whatever happened with Leslie Frazier, and we still may not ever get the full answer. Everybody can have their speculations, but Sean wanted to take over the defense one way or another. He wanted more control for a defense that, again, this has been a top five defense since Sean McDermott really took over, but it has fallen short in big moments. And mm-hmm. now he's putting more on his back. He's putting his neck out there again. So for a team that, again, has kind of fallen out of love with this, you know, the Super Bowl favorites, Sean has now put more on his plate. So it's a big step up for him.
I will say too, I think that pressure is twofold, because one, you have him stepping up in terms of calling the defense, being the defensive coordinator. And there have been moments the defense has come up very short and let this team down. Then there's also the fact that he is the head coach of this team. And this team in big moments has not been able to get over the hump. So it's like, mm-hmm. this team has all these expectations. Once again, this season, we talk so much about Josh Allen, his window, all of these things. And it's like, Sean is putting himself in a spot, Mike, where he's got pressure with the defense, but overall this entire team, this entire season falls once again on his shoulders.
Yeah. And look, some of this goes on Brandon Bean too.
Yeah, that's very fair.
You know, but it's going to be different now. This team is set, and no one could make an argument that this is not a very talented roster. There are still holes. There are people. Look, he drafted Osiris Torrance. He's getting the start. I love it. Let's get him out there. He's a big kid. Looks like he has talent. Soft-spoken guy, but he's, what is he? Wide is the way Deion described him. Get him out there. Christian Benford, I don't care if he was in the sixth round. Sorry, Kyrie. The train's going. The better player's got to be on the field. So they're doing that. And I think McDermott embraces that. That's why Benford started last year. There's one move left to make if things don't go well, and that's an offensive coordinator. And that's the only thing I keep in mind. There is a lot of pressure on Ken Dorsey this year.
And just straightened up.
Well, there is. I mean, it's year two for him, but it's year what? Six with the team, whatever it is, whatever the number is. And I will say this. In theory, I like the moves that Bean made to help him on the offense. I think we all like Trent Sherfield as that kind of guy. Gabe Davis is healthy, playing for his contract. It's Josh freaking Allen and Stephon Diggs. Okay. Make it work. James Cook is going to be a huge player in this offense in terms of making it. And then obviously there's Kincaid. So this is a better offense on paper than it was last year. In large part, I think, because I think a healthy Gabe Davis does make that difference. And then Kincaid gives you another option, but the pressure, I mean, yeah, there's pressure on Josh. There's always pressure on the quarterback. Yeah. But the pressure is on Dorsey this year. It's really on the coach.
Yeah, agreed.
I'm just glad that I wasn't the one that got to beat up Dorsey on this pod. I'm just glad I let somebody else
up
do
at
it.
The moment. Because I think a lot of those problems last year were on the O-line and were on some of the players, you know, and Davis, is whether it's his injury and guys that didn't do, McKenzie didn't do what you would hope they would do. And you've seen what's happened. They had McKenzie and Beasley in there. And, you know, McKenzie, I think, got brought back by the Colts. We love the guy, but he didn't do his job. And so let's see this year what they get. Let's see how it works out.
Yeah. I think that if you look at this team, you still feel pretty confident with this defense. And I still think that it goes back to the Ferrari. And, Mike, you've said it before. I thought you made a good comparison. The one day where I always talked about how you're giving the keys to the Ferrari to a guy with a learner's permit, and that Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs are the Ferrari. I don't hate your analogy about a running game. I don't, as much as that pains me to, like, I feel physically ill saying that, but why don't you share that one with us?
No, he was talking about the O-line.
I was talking about you're talking about the tires.
The tires.
You need the tires on the Ferrari, and that's the O-line to me. And in terms of the running game, we've said it all along. The league is telling everybody, you need to be able to run the ball. What you don't need is a running back. You don't need a superstar running back, but you need to be able to run the ball. I mean, the thing about the Bills is it's not just like they were like, screw it, man. We're going to throw it on every down because we've got Josh Allen. They made him run it. When they tried to run it, it wasn't effective. I mean, that's the problem. It wasn't like they didn't try. I like their mix of backs this year. I think they can be effective. It's the Cook brothers against each other, right, this week.
Yeah.
But yeah. I like, again, I think giving him the option to be a weapon, not just a back. Devin Singletary was a back and a solid player. But if you want to give the ball to a guy in this offense, and that means it's not going to Diggs or Davis or maybe even Kincaid, then that guy better be able to make some plays and not just put it all on, go ahead, Josh, run the ball. So that's why I'm saying is, when I look at the whole roster coming in, and, you know, Jenna, Spencer Brown, come on. Mm-hmm. He's got to be better this year. But I think in total, I like what's there. Now it's up to Dorsey to make it work.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you have the Ferrari and the keys, you got to take care of it. That's the thing. And that means not just like you talked about, it's the tires, it's the car washes and the oil changes and all the things that go into it. All right.
Who has the most pressure for you? You didn't answer the question.
Me. I said Sean McDermott.
Okay.
I was saying how it's twofold, how it's both, yes, as defensive coordinator, but it's also as head coach because.
Hey, but let me ask you, I mentioned Josh. What level of pressure do you think there is on Josh?
I mean, I think there is pressure because he's ascended into this household name. He's on the cover of Madden. He's a guy that's on, I feel like I turn on my TV and it's like the Gillette commercial, the Lay's yep. commercial, all this stuff where it's like, yeah, you know why you can get these opportunities? Because you're really good. But you know what gets old? If you're not, if you don't continue to ascend, if you don't continue to, and look, I think this is no secret. Like Josh knows all these things.
Right.
But the pressure is there because you're out there.
Is Baker Mayfield still locked in that State Farm place? Remember when he was on every single commercial? Mm-hmm. There is pressure. I think that goes along with it. I saw somebody that, you know, came up and talked to me and was like, I feel like every single time I see I'm watching TV, like Josh pops up. Like that's part of it. I'd argue there's more pressure on Diggs than Josh, in a little bit of a way. Me personally, I just think that Steph
firing from the hip, Mike.
No, I'm just saying Steph put himself under a microscope more than Josh did.
I think I hear what you're saying.
Go off, Michael.
Go ahead, Jenna.
No, I think regionally there's a lot of pressure on Stephon Diggs, but it's always going to fall on the quarterback's shoulders. Always.
Yes. And I think Diggs is, some people will perceive him as just this diva wide receiver. He has put up numbers. He's been outstanding. And not that people wouldn't want Josh Allen, but there's a difference in the way quarterbacks are looked at. Like I was listening to people and right away they go, well, Mahomes is the best quarterback. And then it's Burrow. And now they put Hurts ahead of him. And I love Hurts and I love what he does. But no one in the world would have put Jalen Hurts ahead of Josh Allen last year. I mean, Hurts was the guy with all of it. Now, he also played outstanding. Mm-hmm. A great offensive line, great scheme, the whole thing. And he made it work and he got him to the Super Bowl. But I wonder if you took 32 general managers out there and said, how many of you, well, we'll say 30, take out the Bills and the Chiefs. And even if you take out the, how many, who wants Hurts? Who wants Allen? I still think most general managers would say, I'll take Josh Allen 7 days a week. But Hurts, mm-hmm. did it in big moments, had great season, did it all. He's got to replicate it again. Josh has had those years. But I think Josh set this bar so high now, and we keep moving it. He was compared to Mahomes, and he's right there. And now all of a sudden it's like, yeah, and then you're going to hear people this year, well, maybe I'd rather have Herbert, and who knows how Trevor Lawrence is going to be. It's like you're letting the team. The teams below you are getting this attention as opposed to just the ones above you.
Yeah.
But Diggs's actions, right or wrong, which we have talked about one way or another, put a magnifying glass on him. Every move that Stephon Diggs makes this season will be scrutinized. And if he drops a pass or two, or if he doesn't have a play, it will be looked at more critically than Allen.
Like, I don't know if I agree with that. I think if things go very awry, then that'll circle back to being a national narrative. But
I'm not saying it's fair. I'm not saying it's fair. And again, I'm just saying, like, you don't think that if Steph goes 3-for-34 on Monday night, you don't think it's going to get talked about? That where was he in this offseason? You know, he was in France and he was in Paris. Like, you don't think all this stuff comes back up, right or wrong? It'll be asinine. I'm just saying that, like, the leash on the hot takes for Steph because of what he did or did not do are going to make him a bigger candidate for those discussions, dumb takes.
Yeah. I will say, though, if the Bills win that game that you're talking about on Monday night where Diggs doesn't have a good game, it doesn't matter. Like, if they lose,
nothing matters when they win.
But it all comes down to Josh. I feel like it all comes down to Josh.
Right.
Like, that's – Josh Allen is a household name now. Stephon Diggs
still isn't. If Sauce shuts down Diggs, there's a talking point.
Oh, no
all
doubt.
All of a sudden
– yes.
So Josh could throw for 300 yards, but if Diggs has three catches, like what's wrong with Stephon Diggs?
He ain't throwing for 300 yards against the Jets if Diggs has three catches.
I'm just saying, I'm throwing out scenarios, people.
People.
Jenna, he's on a win streak of one. And you're wrong. Dan's on a win streak of one, and he's leaning into it.
Don't let him get hot.
Don't let me get hot.
Taking those Acuna swings.
Yeah. What do you guys think will be the biggest surprise this season? Player, like game? I don't know.
Go ahead, Mike.
I said it just a moment ago. I think it's James Cook. And again, I'm not saying he's a 1,500-yard running back. I'm saying is you're going to finally see, I think, that they got it right for this offense and what they need out of whatever level you consider a number one back. I think he's going to be really good for him. I think he's going to make some plays near the goal line. I think he's going to get incorporated into the pass game. I think we've just gotten to the point where we don't expect a lot out of the running backs because they've tried to draft them, I think, a year into it. And I think he's under the radar. He really is because Kincaid's gotten so much attention, I think, and it's year two. But I think he's going to be a big surprise for a lot of people.
Dan?
It's tough to find a real surprise. Also, it's tough because we're so deep into this team that, like, you know, to sit here and be like, oh, I think this guy is going to be the surprise or that thing. I think Christian Benford surprises people by how well he plays. I have been a Christian Benford stan account for going back to last season. I think if injuries hadn't, you know, inhibited some of his playing time, I think he plays physical. I've said it before. I think he can have a Taron Johnson-like effect on this defense where Taron has changed the way that they play schematically because of his versatility and because of all those things. I think we kind of forget about Kyir Elam. I think he becomes an afterthought. I think Christian Benford takes the job. I think he hangs on to the job and becomes just a key part of this defense.
Yeah, that was a guy that I thought could be a surprise, yeah. Mike.
Well, I was just going to add, you guys both talked about Bernard having instincts. I think Benford has instincts. I think he does. He has what we just, it's sort of like, I'll say Elam is more like Tremaine Edmonds, physically. Long arms,
100%,
all those things, but there's just that little bit missing, and it's frustrating because you see it. And I'm not saying Benford and Bernard are both going to be stars, but they do have something. Benford just has something. And by the way, those three guys who are starters, like, good for the team, not exactly great for reporters getting sound bites because those three guys are very soft spoken, and that's fine. Osiris and Benford and Bernard are not exactly Deion Dawkins talking to the media. And that's cool, but I kind of like, be quiet, go do your job, guys. That's what I love about coming out of Villanova. Seriously. I love that.
Go
Cats. Know, he's not quite the undrafted guy. You know, he's not like Levi, but, you know.
But I think it's even more surprising because it's D1 AA. Like, it's not even power. It's not Power 5 football.
You're right.
Like,
yeah, you're right.
Like, Levi, this is
Alabama. Yeah.
This isn't even Sun Belt. Like, this is half the guys he was playing against are probably doing taxes now. Like they're smarter than all of us. And to go off that, you talk about Kyir, I hope the best for Kyir, and like, he's dealing with failure. And I think it's something new of how you deal with failure. And Kyir had talked that he's been good at football since like eighth grade. And that, like, last year was the first time that he really struggled. And I think those struggles, and I'm not trying to get into people's personal life, but if you listen or talk to Christian Benford, like, his life is unbelievable that he's still here at this level with the violence and things that went on in his life, like growing up in the inner city of Baltimore, like all these things. I don't think he cares about talking to the media, like these little things, and like the chip on his shoulder is massive. And I was watching him yesterday because I was like, we need to get shots of him at practice. Mm-hmm. And what really stood out to me was Christian Benford's a starter now, named a starter. Mm-hmm. He was still the last guy at the back end of every single drill. Like,
really?
Do you think, like, you would think, hey, I'm a starter now. Like, I get to be in the front of the line with Trey, Micah, and Jordan. Now, like, do you think he cares at all about who goes first or who goes second? Like, I'm Christian Benford. Like, I just go out there and do work. Like, and it, to me, that was just one of those things that stood out to me that I was like, man, you made it. Like, you've earned the starting job again because you had it last year. You did start. Mm-hmm. I know they rotated that number two corner spot, but like that just was just something that really stood out to me at practice was like, he does not care about when he gets reps or anything like that. Like, he just wants to go out there and compete. And I think that's very telling.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's going to be a guy that Bills fans will root for. Like, I think his story and his work ethic, and it's kind of the Sean McDermott model of like, I don't care where you were drafted. If you're the best guy for that job, you're going to be out on the field.
Yep.
Yeah. And the other thing coming into this is Poyer and Hyde back together again. It'll be mm-hmm. cool. I think Hyde's going to be fine. You guys,
same.
We talked with Poyer. He yeah. thinks he'll be. Let's see. He was out there with his pads on. But those two playing, what would this be? Seven straight years?
Seven.
Yeah. By the way, guys,
NFL history.
I was thinking about the way this defense has been built. And before Brandon Bean, Matt Milano, right?
Mm-hmm.
Signing free agents, Poyer and Hyde, drafting Trey White. That's
four. Deion Dawkins. Oh, you're talking about the
defense. Oh, no, defense. Four yeah. mainstays on that defense that have been there. And I say pre because that was the
Sean McDermott.
Doug Whaley pseudo, whatever, not privy. You know, McDermott's in there. Those are guys that are still there 7 years. This may be the last year. Like, we don't know what these guys are going to do, but I think it's awesome. They're going to take the field together with Trey, right? Dan, is first time since Thanksgiving
of 2021.
One. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. The three together. So that's cool. But that's also what gives them confidence.
And they don't play on Thanksgiving this year.
Yeah. They don't play. Mike, that was the Thanksgiving meal at the Superdome. That was the ham sandwich.
Poor Dan. There's
an incredible photo of Dan.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah, New Orleans. I mean, Dallas, we all
Dallas
should.
Was fantastic.
We
Detroit was good.
Cowboys. Detroit was good. Dallas was off the charts. They do a lot of things that are laughable, and I enjoy it when it's laughable with the Cowboys. By the way, like Jerry Jones saying when he traded for Trey Lance, I didn't need to talk to everybody. I knew how he was. I'd seen this kid before. I just went out and got him. I'm like, okay, really?
A wild one,
but yeah. A meal on Thanksgiving, off the charts. Mm. Not New Orleans. Man.
Very good.
Yeah. So.
All right. My surprise.
Yep.
It's not even, it's Dalton Kincaid. I'm really curious if he can be a guy that, like, my friends outside of Buffalo have no idea who Dalton Kincaid is. You know, I feel like he's a guy that nationally is really under the radar, but I think for this Bills team, I just feel like we've all been so impressed by what we've seen this offseason, this preseason, just how smooth he looks, just his ability to make catches, I feel like the catch radius that he has, it doesn't feel like he's a rookie. We haven't seen that moment from him, and that's not to say that it won't come, but at the same point, I just think he's been really impressive. And that's why I'm excited to see what he can be for this team this season. Obviously, Dawson Knox has been, you know, he's had great seasons in Buffalo. And the Bills, that's their guy. But I think Dalton Kincaid can kind of add a little change up in there. And I think I'm excited to see what that will be for this team.
Do you want to know my honorable mention that I almost went with?
What?
Do you have any guesses on who I could say would be a possible surprise?
A possible surprise? Terrell Bernard,
Gabe Davis.
See, but I was gonna pick him, but my thing is, like, he's already set the bar. Like, I think this will be a bad
has he set the bar?
Okay, he's set a level of, if he plays really well, I wouldn't be like, oh my god, did you see, like, Gabe Davis? Like, I think he can really
be what?
Like, I think he can really be that second guy that the Bills need him to be.
Which so is he has that he hasn't been, right?
Which is where another He's time shown in moments. I was right. Okay. But okay, I think that no. we talk
See,
about.
Here's my thing. He didn't play well last year.
And who was nervous when we did this before the season last year? Who was the one player injured. I was nervous? Was he really? And is Tremaine Edmonds young? Is Tremaine
hey,
young
Jenna.
Still?
That's not
Jenna.
The same thing as being injured. Being young and being injured are very different.
Janet, let me ask you this. You've been to shows before, like Broadway, right?
Yeah.
How many times do they come out to take a bow at the end? It's usually like once, right? A little quick bow. Dan's gone triple here. He's taking bows.
Yeah, he had the victory lap yesterday. My thing is, if Gabe Davis has a phenomenal season, I won't be like, oh my God, I never thought it would happen. Real? Okay, I guess I just feel differently.
Well, I think it's frustrating because he's had those big, big moments.
Yeah.
I want 575 is what I want.
Okay.
Yes.
I think he's capable of that. I think his teammates think he's capable of that. He was voted a captain this year.
I think that could be, I talked about how you learn from failure. I think he could have learned a lot last year by the struggles that he went through, because the first two seasons, he was everybody's favorite underdog. And the minute that he got put in that spot of, hey, you're the guy now, he came up short. He'll admit it. Bean won't admit it, but everybody else, he was throwing 100 passes last year. It wasn't like he didn't have opportunities. He didn't catch a whole lot of them. I think this year, with what he's gone through, now knowing what to expect as that guy, I think can help him to have the type of season and what to expect. That's the thing. Again, I'm aware that he had an ankle injury. I've heard that quite a bit. He seems healthy. He seems focused. And I think the captain means a lot. I think that sends a big message to have a guy that his contract doesn't say that he's going to be here forever. So that, to me, I think is a big testament that I think he could be the guy that we said, what does he need? 75 catches? The Bills need 75 catches out of him this year, at least.
Yeah, I will say this. This was my hot take a few weeks ago. I think he gets off to a great start, is playing well, and they sign him to an extension during the season.
Yeah, I think that's what they want to happen.
Yep.
I agree.
Yeah.
I also think Khalil Shakir could have a sneaky good year. He has been forgotten about. I think he could have a bigger role in the offense than Deontay Hardy. I think he could.
I want him to play well. I think I'm have questions about his consistency, but if he can show that, I think he can be.
But you think Gabe is the consistent?
Again, Dan. Okay. Go ahead, Mike. No, I just think it's outrageous, Dan, for you to be like, well, I mean, Tremaine, he's young. I'm like, being injured and young are completely different things.
I will say this.
What does Mike call their reasons, not excuses?
No excuses. I will say this. Gabe Davis.
I hope Gabe Davis has a victory lap for you. Like, I really
I'm sitting here saying I think he could have a breakout season.
My worry about
Khalil. Sounding, what you're saying and how it sounds are very different.
Jenna, he's setting himself up for a bow. That's what he's doing.
Oh, because either way, if Gabe Davis doesn't play well, Dan, be like, I told you. But if he plays well, he'd be like, I said he was going to be a breakout player.
Nope.
My worry about Khalil
That's
Shakir.
Not what you're saying?
Oh my
what
God,
you, saying,
you guys, you're worse than me.
No, I'm mad now.
Okay, now I'm go ahead. Annoyed. Let Jenna vent.
No, I just want to hear how Dan didn't do that.
He did.
I think this year is the year that Gabe. I have been a Gabe skeptic. Not rooting against Gabe like everybody thinks that I root against him. Not the case. I've been skeptic of the hype around him. Now this year, I don't think there's as much hype. I think he's learned from the struggles last year, which I correctly predicted. And the fact of the matter is that this year, Mike's face, that was great. I think this year he could have a big season. I'm hoping that he has a big season. I'm projecting him to have a bigger season than last year.
He has to. Or he's going to be on the free agent market coming off a bad year. If he plays well, he's getting paid and he's staying in Buffalo where he wants to be. And Jenna's right. Bean wants to sign him. He absolutely wants to sign him. And my worry about Khalil Shakir is I don't know if he has the physical gifts to be a different maker in this league. I don't think he's quick enough, fast enough. He's got to be very, very, very sure of himself, sure of catching the ball, running his routes. He can't get by with physical ability. You guys watch him out there. There's nothing physically special about him as an NFL receiver. The question is, there's been guys like that that have made it and done really well in this league. He can't drop the open passes. He's got to be able to block. He's got to do those things. And that's why I think they're worried about him. And that's why I think Hardy is absolutely going to get the shot early, because he has done it in the NFL.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
You all right, Jenna?
Yes, I'm fine. I feel like it is so fun. You love doing your victory laps, and I'm very proud of you. But sometimes you set up an argument so that either way you're right.
No, I'm allowed to change. Last year I was skeptical of Gabe. This year I'm not.
Okay. All right. We just agree to disagree.
Okay. I don't know, Jim.
Okay. All right. Thank you all for watching. Anything? Oh, do you want to tell them about the show, Mike?
Yeah, we have our show pregame. We're going to be right on the field, MetLife Stadium, 7 o'clock. We'll have it streamed here. You can watch us. It's also, if you're in Rochester, you can pick it up on 13 WHAM ABC, leading right up to 7:30 when ABC picks up programming of it. Plus, we're going to be down at Jersey, you know, Saturday, Sunday, and into Monday. So we'll be putting on videos. We'll be continuing with our content, and we can't wait to start this season.
Woo. Okay.
First ever Buffalo Plus road trip where all three of us are going.
Yes. Very excited. It'll be a lot of fun. Thank you all for all the support. 25K, big deal. Please be sure to like, in terms of comment, what is
expectations for week one?
Yeah, expectations for week one, or who's your surprise player, or what are you most concerned about? Really, anything that we talked about, you give us your opinion on that, not just, you know, Dan was right or wrong.
Also, Uncle Dan's Best Bets be coming out tomorrow, Friday, Friday afternoon at some point. So it's pretty hot last year.
I'm not mad at you, Dan.
Just disappointed?
No, I'm not disappointed either. I mean, you are Dan Fates. Like, you're my best friend. I love you. Just sometimes you send me.
I love it. I love it because sometimes Jenna will play the middle between Mike and I. And I just love it when Jenna goes all in on one side or another. I love it when Jenna gives her take of Mike, you're wrong. Dan, you're wrong. I love it.
Oh yeah. Cause this was no middle. This was, no. You were on both sides.
No.
Say, I'm usually pretty.
New year, new Gabe.
New year, new. Yeah. Okay. New year, same Dan. All right, like, comment, subscribe. Again, we love it. Appreciate the support. Dan was right. Dan was wrong. You can find your merch on the buffaloplusstore.com. Be sure to get your own mug and figure out, send us what side you agree with. For Mike and Dan, I'm Jenna. Thank you so much for watching. We'll have plenty of pregame, postgame coverage from the Bills week one matchup, primetime against the Jets. We always appreciate the love. Thanks for joining us here on Buffalo Plus, presented by Connors and Fairs.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com. Dorsey.com.